Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture in your mind a nice, juicy hamburger, a crispy piece of fried chicken, a warm bowl of baked potato soup, a crunchy apple with a side of cinnamon cream cheese dip, warm chocolate chip cookies, and apparently Pop-Tarts. Hungry? Sometimes the mere mention of certain foods can increase one's hunger and make you realize how long it's been since your last meal and wonder how long this sermon is going to be and so how long it will be before your next meal. But so often we eat to satisfy the hunger and then are hungry again all too soon. How do you really satisfy your hunger? What really takes care of you for more than, I don't know, a few hours at a time? For what do you really hunger? Do you long for things that do not last or things that are not healthy for you, like Pop-Tarts? We all do. It is a result of your fallen human nature. You want things that you cannot or should not have. You desire things that are not beneficial for you. It's not new to you. When God placed Adam in the garden, he told him that all the plants and trees in the garden were given to him for food, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when he was tempted, Adam seemingly even eagerly ate from that tree. He gave in to the desire to be like God, knowing good and evil, that one thing that God had held away from him and said, "This is not for you." He had been warned of the consequences, but those consequences neither prevented his desire nor his action. I know that you have desires like that too. Perhaps you want to be wealthy and are willing to take advantage of other people or at least look the other way when necessary. Maybe you just want to be happy, so you ignore the needs of others or scheme to get things that are not intended for you. Some of you may be lonely and choose to gossip about others to create or extend a camaraderie with those who share that gossip. I suspect each of you knows some of the things for which you hunger that you are embarrassed to admit even to yourself, let alone to God. Sometimes as Christians, it's easy to understand the position in which the Israelites found themselves, seeing what they had left behind and seeing the empty plates before them, remembering with fondness and thinking about what those other people were eating, those pots of meat and the wonderful vegetables and the terrific desserts, and their mouths began to water and they looked down and said, "What is it?" But it's what God gave them to eat. And so we, as Christians, see what some other people deal with, and we think, why not us? Why do we have to conform to a higher standard? Why? When it would be so easy to have the things that those around us have. But so many of the things for which we hunger do not last. When you go to extra efforts to try to be happy, how long does that happiness last? I have seen myself doing something to make someone else happy, only to see the happiness fade before the sun even sets. I have also heard of those who try to grow rich, finding out that however rich they become, they never feel like they have gone far enough, Reportedly, when Rockefeller was asked how rich was rich enough, he replied, "Just a little bit more." We are often so like Sisyphus, look it up later, Wikipedia will tell you, I'm sure, pushing the boulder up the hill only to see it roll down again and having to start all over. It is like pursuing a ghost or catching a shadow. What would you say if I told you that there was a way to be satisfied and never hunger again? Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It seems like a strange thing for him to say. What might he have meant by that? They would never have to sit down to a meal again? They would never again feel dehydrated? No, he was talking about a much different hunger. The crowds were looking for something from him. They had followed him across the lake after they had witnessed what he had done. They knew how Moses had given the Israelites manna when they were in the wilderness, so that they did not starve in those 40 years as they headed to the promised land. They were looking for Jesus to match that. Was he as good as Moses? But Jesus just shook his head and pointed them elsewhere. The manna did not come from Moses, but from their Father in heaven. But then he pointed them to what was necessary for them, and it was not mere bread or something to fill their bellies for a short time. You see, not only did the Father send bread from heaven to the Israelites, that manna on a daily basis, he also sent the true bread from heaven who stood that day before that crowd. Jesus was, of course, talking about himself. He was the true bread from heaven, given for the life of the world. Jesus took the questions and the desires that the people had and directed them to something that would last more than a few hours. The Israelites had to continue eating manna. They always had manna, but it did not last. Jesus, however, came to bring a lasting and eternal gift. The problem the people faced was, in a word, death. If they did not eat, they would die. It is no different for us. We all live under the veil of sin and its consequences, so